Encouraging us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear. Amen. And our hearts are good soil. Father, thank you for the battles that you've been bringing us through. Victorious. Amen. Thank you for that, Father. Lord, thank you for reminding me today. I was thinking of the scriptures that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But we are made whole. We are forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And he didn't only do it in the book of Revelations, but it talked about it in the first two chapters of Job, where Satan went before God and accused Job. I thank God that Satan's accusations, which he not only before God, but he tries to bring through our hearts and our minds, Father, we thank you that we are made whole through you, that our sins are washed away, that we're victorious, Lord, that you're pleased with us tonight. Lord, we thank you that you are pleased with us. And what an honor it is, Father God, the creator of the universe, the only one, Father God, who Jesus the sacrifice and we're pleasing in your sight. If you've been hearing any voices of accusation, if anything, I'm telling you right through, from the word of God, tell the enemy to shut up, that it's under the blood. Amen. That your sins from yesterday, today, and forever are forgiven through the right. Through the cross. Amen. Amen. Tell the enemy to go to H-E double toothpicks. Amen.
Yeah.
So we thank you, Father God. The accuser of the brethren has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. I said, the accuser of the brethren has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for encouraging our hearts, Father God. Strengthening us, filling us with your peace in Jesus' name. Filling us with your peace, Father. We rebuke anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we tell you to go in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for if you're struggling with anxiety or those things, a lot of those things come from something inside that says, I don't measure up, or God's not going to take care of that. I'm here to tell you that he will take care of you. He's got your back. Even in your mistakes, he loves you dearly.
He does.
And the accuser of the brethren has no authority and power over you. He has no authority. He only has the authority that we give him. Amen. He only has the authority that we give him, but he has no authority. So we thank you, Father. We rebuke accusation, a spirit of accusation in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the peace of God ruling in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. I enjoyed this time of worship. Just that little bit just encourages my heart. The Lord speaks to me. You can be seated if you're able. Speaks to me, and just, he's so faithful to encourage us, isn't he? He's so faithful to encourage us. And when do we need encouragement the most? Especially in the middle of weaknesses. Don't you agree? Because that's where the enemy tries to come in and bring that accusation. He tries to come in and bring a downtrodden heart. But because the accuser of the brethren has no power, we tell him to get lost in Jesus' name. Amen. How you guys doing tonight? It's good to see you. And it's good to be seen, isn't it, Mr. Anderson? Amen and amen. Amen. So you guys are all ready for the Christmas season? Your Christmas shopping's done? Amen. Marcus? You didn't shake your head yes or no. I mean, it usually means no. That's okay. You guys love the Christmas? I can tell you real quick, we'll get going. Is when I was younger, I'm not going to go into details because you guys don't want to hear them anyway, and I don't want to talk about them, but I hated Christmas and the holidays. Now, through Christ, I love them. I love them, don't you? A time of nativity scenes, remembering the birth of the Savior, the miraculous virgin birth of our Jesus, amen, and enjoying it with, reminding ourselves of the greatest gift that God has ever given mankind, right, Jesus, the baby Jesus, the child Jesus, amen. So enjoy the holiday season. We are on John chapter 1 still, amen. We may not get out of John 1 for a while. But does anybody remember what session we're on? Wow. Anyway, we're on John. We're going to be starting at John chapter 1, verse 18. We're in session 6. How the time flies. It's such good material, amen, going through John chapter 1. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, right? And the Word was with God. What a powerful way to start out a book, amen? So we're John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God. This is in the New American Standard, chapter 1, verse 18. I'm sorry we don't have our overheads tonight. We've had the computer decided to update right at the wrong time. So if it finishes getting updated, we may get some scriptures up there, but you guys have your Bibles with you, right? Your devices and your Bible. John chapter 1, verses 18. This is in the New American Standard Bible version. It says, no one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son. Did you hear that? God, the only Son. So God, or the Son being God as well, amen? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen? God and Jesus are in heaven, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. Last but not least, for sure, is on this earth. He's in you and I. In omnipresence, he's everywhere at once, isn't he? He's ministering to you and I right now, and he's ministering to somebody across the world at the same time, the same spirit, but in a different way. Amazing that God, amen, is everywhere at once. But Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he can only be in one place at one time, and then he's got his imps and the fallen angels of hell, those that are part of his army. But Satan, it says, going to and fro the earth. I was reading today in Job chapter 1 and 2. He may go to and fro the earth, but he's only one place at one time. Amen? But our God, not only being deposited and living in us, but everywhere else at the same time. The power, the unfathomable power of our God. Amen? It is amazing to me that he can be personal to you and I. Every little thing that we struggle with, he's personal to you and I, yet able at all the same time take care of every need. Amen. The earth spins on its axle because of him. The stars shine from the heavens because of him. Amen. Amen. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him. Well, in the New King James, it says, has declared him. So that means that God the Son has declared or explained the Father. Amen? But it says, no one has seen God at any time. Exodus 33, I want to go through a couple other scriptures in reference and talking about and vetting this out a little bit, this part of no one has seen God at any time. Exodus 33:20 says, but he said, this is God. He's talking to Moses. He says, you cannot see my face. For no one can see me and live. So no one has seen the face of God, amen? We know that people have seen Jesus. We know of visions and dreams, people seeing Jesus. But no man has seen the Father, amen? Someday you and I will see him, though, face to face. It says, as we are known, we will know. Isn't that awesome? One day, we can't even fathom it in our mind, in our imagination, what it will be like the day that we see God face to face. If you remember last week, we talked about in Revelation where John, the Apostle John, knew Jesus as on the earth. He had seen Jesus. Amen. And then when Jesus appeared to him in Revelation chapter 1, in Jesus' glory, it says he fell as a dead man, seeing the glory of Jesus. Yet even beyond that, the Father says, no man can see my face and live. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who alone possesses immortality? Who alone? Our God, amen? And dwells in unapproachable light, with whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion, amen. Just a few more scriptures. But here it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, I'll get it, in the New King James Version. Now we say we know we haven't seen God's face, amen? We believe in God. We know he's real. We know that we've been joined to him, and our relationship is through the Son, right? Paying for our sin, amen? But it says in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians 13, 12, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly. So just imagine if you were in a room with barely any light. I mean, just a little bit of light, and you're looking in a mirror, just seeing just a silhouette of yourself. I mean, not seeing any features really, but just a silhouette of yourself right there. That's what it's kind of talking about. He says, for now we see, you and I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, right? We'll see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also. That's why part of this is we live by faith, all right? Living by faith, we haven't seen God yet. We haven't seen his face, but through faith we've seen him, amen? Through faith we know he's real. Through the deposit of the Holy Spirit, we know that he exists. We know by the power that works through us that he's real, but haven't seen his face yet. You know, in Exodus 33, 20 through 23, I'm going to come back to that dimly. He said, you cannot see my face. He's talking about Moses. Moses had said to the Father, he said to God, I want to see your glory. He says, I want to see your glory. You think of everything he's seen, the parting of the Red Sea, the miraculous miracles, and then he says, God, it's not enough. I want to see your glory. And God says to him, he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, Exodus 33, 20 through 23, and you shall stand on the rock. He said, there's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. Verse 22, so it shall be while my glory passes by, then I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. It's amazing how he says, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. You know, anytime you talk about a cleft of the rock or rock in the Old Testament, it's referring to Jesus. People will say, are you sure about that? Well, I'm going to take an example of what Paul said. I'm only following the example given by the Apostle Paul. Amen. That's what did Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4 in the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. Paul's talking about when the Israelites were in the desert, in the wilderness, and they were drinking from that spiritual rock. Remember that? Paul says, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. Amen? So even in the Old Testament where Moses says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to give an example of the glory that I'm going to reveal to my church in the latter days. See, Moses, you're the only one seeing my glory. All the other Israelites, nobody else is seeing it. But there's coming a day when man's sins are going to be washed away. They're going to be restored to a relationship with me through the blood of Jesus, which is Jesus Christ is the rock. And I'm not only going to reveal the glory of God to my people, but the glory is going to live in him. Amen? Standing upon Jesus the rock, people building their lives upon sand, or a rock. That's the two choices we have, amen, today. And it's becoming clearer and clearer. Are you going to build your life upon sand that when the storms come, it washes it away, amen? Or are we going to build it upon the rock, Jesus Christ, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what the enemy tries to bring against us, we're standing upon the rock and we're going to be victorious, amen? You remember a few weeks ago said we go from victory to victory to victory. Sometimes we like to have this attitude, I go from battle to battle to battle. Maybe it be a battle, but it's from victory to victory to victory. I like what Pastor Lee used to say. He says, we're in a fight, but said, remember, it's called a good fight. So we fight a good fight, amen? And only good fight there is the one that you win. Never heard of a good fight where you got whipped. But we don't get whipped. We're already victorious in him, aren't we? I said, we're already victorious in him. Standing upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and putting Moses in the cleft of the rock, showing him this is a representation of Jesus Christ.
when he put him in that rock and put his hand, God put his hand in front of Moses as Moses said, I want to see. But he only got to see his backside, amen, his back. But you and I, understanding, having his glory live in us, amen, and knowing that we see in a mirror dimly. But there's some things we can see. We'll get back to that in just a second. The understanding that rock is Jesus Christ. So what about this mirror dimly? So how do we see God today? Just a reminder, even though it's dimly, there's ways we do see God, amen? First of all, we see him through the invisible attributes of this world that we live in, amen? It says in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, amen? Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's talking about those who have traded the glory and the wisdom of God for the wisdom of the world. But when you see things, don't you? Now, as a believer, when we see things in creation that are beautiful, we say, wow, God, your creation that you've made, amen? We are seeing God there. We're seeing God's power. We're seeing God's ability. We're seeing what God made for you and I. Amen? Did you know he made the world for you and I? Isn't that amazing? Amen. Makes you want to hike more, doesn't it? Maybe a fleeting thought for me, but it's a good idea. So that mirror dimly, how we see God. Number one there, I wanted to say, is through his invisible attributes, meaning, you know, we don't see him, but we see his what he created, amen? The stars, the moon, the universe, everything. You look at that and we say, that is made by God. You know, you've heard me say it, you've got to have as much faith in the Big Bang Theory and evolution as you do in God. Because either way, it had to start from nothing. If you look back from... I was reading a story where they were trying to say, well, there was a big bang before there was a big bang. But how do you explain something coming from nothing? So you go, I don't care if you go back a billion years ago, it still had to come from something. And so we know that God made the heavens and earth in 6 days. Amen? So we see his glory. Part of that dimly, what we see is through his attributes. Amen? Number two, through the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14 says, for as the body is one and has many members, right? That's you and I. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So we're one body, amen? One body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. All of that saying that you individuals and together we make one body. We see God through one another. Did you know that? The different giftings and abilities and things that God has placed, placed within you and I, amen? The things that God has placed within you and I separately come together and form one body. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That is, we can, if, okay. Thank you, hon. So, number two, how do we see one another? It's through the body of Christ. Amen. That's why it says in 1 Peter 4, it says, to love one another deeply because it covers over a multitude of sins. It's important through the body, amen? So we see him through the invisible attributes, God. Number two, we see him through the body. It says, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another, by your love for one another, amen. Number three, through the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10 says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. I wanted to mention this, because when that which is perfect comes, that means God's, Jesus Christ's second return. We need the gifts right now because we only know in part. The gifts of the Spirit, tongues and interpretations, gifts of prophecy, working of miracles, amen? The gift of faith, the gift of discerning of spirits. Do we need that in the body nowadays? The gift of discerning of spirits? So we see God through the gifts of the Spirit. It says we know in part now, but when that which is perfect has come. Now there's faiths, or I should say different believers, different from different churches or denominations that think that means that when the Bible comes, then all those things were done away with. But that doesn't make sense to me. They didn't know that their letters were going to become part of a New Testament. Amen. If you read the whole chapter, the context of that is saying, hey, when he comes, then we'll know as we are known, and these gifts we won't need anymore. When you're in heaven with God, we're not going to need the gift of prophecy, are we? When we see him face to face, it won't no longer be dimly. We're going to see him clearly. We're not going to need discerning of spirits. We're not going to need the gifts of the Spirit as tongues, interpretations, prophecy, all those things that they have, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, we won't need it anymore. There won't be anybody sick. There won't be any more tears. I won't be getting up in the morning to go to work anymore. Not like we do now anyway. We'll be just like him, our body as well, amen? We'll be able to eat, but yet walk right through walls. We'll be able to conversate, and then all of a sudden I might be in another planet. Like that. If you think about it, the gifts of the Spirit are here now because we only see dimly. We only see a portion or a part, amen? So we need to walk in everything that God would give us. And that allows us through the gifts of the Spirit to see God, amen? Amen. John, looks like you're almost making some tracks there, brother, with this computer. Thank you, John. I mean, John, while Bill Boy has been away, as you know, John has been the guy there. I wish we have a couple more guys that can do the video at some point, right? Because John has been just, thank you, John. I appreciate it. He hasn't been able to sit with his wife, Leanna, for months. So thank you, Leanna. Thank you. Gifts of the Spirit. Number four, we are born again and have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in us, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Did you know you're not your own? You were bought with a price. You belong to him. Amen. I am so glad to say, Lord, I belong to you. No matter what's going on, I belong to you. Amen. Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that a comfort to your heart to know you belong to him? That you're a dear child of God? Amen. So how do we see God? We would talk about, next was being born again, his deposit in us. Number five, dreams and visions. Acts 2:17 says, and in the last days, are we in the last days? Gosh, I hope we are, amen. It sure seems like we're in the last days, does it not? And it says in Acts 2:17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, God speaking this, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah, that's you and I. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. I don't know what the cutoff date or age is for dreaming dreams, but I'd like to think that I'm still in the seeing visions part of it, amen, a young man. The point is, dreams and visions, God's Spirit, did you know we can have dreams and visions from him? They always line up with the Word of God. That's how you can tell, they line up with the Word of God, but they are powerful. They're powerful right now in different parts of the world. We've talked about it, of having people come to know Jesus, a dream or a vision, and they'll say, hey, go talk to such and such, or go here, and they're presented with the gospel. So dreams and visions are not for coming to the gospel, but they are for relaying truths. You think about Peter, right, when the sheet dropped, remember, in Acts, and it says, he heard a voice saying, kill and eat. And he said, no, I won't do that. So what did it do right then? It was a revelation for him. because he realized right after that, when he went to Cornelius's house, who was a Greek, or who was not a Jew, and he preached the gospel based upon that dream he had, or that open vision he had. So dreams and visions, they allow us to see God. That little bit of that dimly mirror, we get to see God, a revelation of God. Something in our lives. God wants, do you still believe in dreams and visions, brothers and sisters? There's been times where I just say, Lord, release dreams and visions. There's people out there that are weary of that, or they become scared because they get scared of it becomes weird or something. My gosh, we can't not, that's a ploy of the enemy, by the way, that'll keep us with not operating the power of God because of not believing in dreams or visions. Now, our foundation is only the Word of God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Amen. Our foundation, what anchors us to truth, is the Word of God. Without a doubt, first and foremost. But one way that God reveals himself to see him a little bit is through dreams and visions. And then number six, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We see God through the Word of God. Amen. Remember when Jesus was walking on the road of Emmaus, right? And he says, hey, started telling about how he must die, be handed over to the Romans. He says he showed him from the law and the prophets. So even though we see dimly, doesn't mean that we're stumbling in the dark, because it says his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So even though it says it's dimly, we still see him as far as we know direction in our lives. We know that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. It just means that what we see here on earth is nothing to be compared to what we will see. Nothing compared to when we see him face to face. Sometimes with faith now, even what Paul says, hey, sometimes I feel what? Persecuted, pushed down, but I'm not destroyed. Amen? I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Amen? So even though we see him somewhat dimly, there's ways, amen, that we have confidence in seeing what God wants us to see. Amen? Amen and amen. The testimony of John the Baptist. John, we are slowly but surely getting there, aren't we, brother? I see life on that screen. Woohoo! John, you are the man. Hey, do you by chance, John, I want to go step back just a little bit, because remember it said that no man can see my face and live. Do you have a picture of that tent first, John, by chance yet? So it said Moses was not like any other prophet. He talked to God. See, this is a representation of the tent of meetings when they were in the wilderness. And up to the time when the temple was built by Solomon, remember? So he built a very nice temple. This is where, this is what it looked like for much of the time until the tent of meetings, where they did their, you can see right here, this is where they did the sacrifices. And this is where they do the washings, kind of a representation of maybe modern day baptism. And then you would go inside the tent. So that doesn't look very stately, does it? Because really, that's not what God was about. I mean, even though they had that temple and they built that temple and everything, it still ended up that God's main purpose with the new covenant is that he would live in you and I. And so when they would have to move, see, they would follow that cloud by day, remember? And that fire, pillar of fire by night. So they would have to, God would say, okay, the cloud's moving, it's time to go. They'd have to pack that up. And they would go and set it up wherever that cloud would stop, or that pillar of fire would stop. That's where they would stop. And then they would unpack it and put that fencing around it, and that altar, and that where they would wash there, I forgot the name of it, and then go into the tent. Hey, John, do you have that next one that has a diagram, a drawing of what it looked like inside? So you had the altar, burnt offering, amen? and then the laver where they washed up. And then you would go inside that tent, and you would have that table of showbread. Do you remember that King David took the showbread, remember, when he was running from Saul? And it was against the law for him to take that, but he took it. And then you have the altar of incense. An altar of incense is like a representation of prayer. Amen, of prayer. It talks about revelation, the incense of our prayers before God. Amen? So you and I are burning incense all the time through our prayers. Do you know that? As you're praying, it's like burning incense. Amen. He hears our prayers. It's a sweet-smelling savor to our God, this altar of incense. And then you had the veil. And then behind the veil, the Ark of the Covenant. So when it said that God talked to Moses face to face, what it really meant is Moses was on this other side of the veil. And then he would talk to God, like person to person, as God's presence and spirit were in the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. In the Holy of Holies. So now that we are in the new covenant, amen, he talked through that big veil, Moses did, couldn't see God's face. So what is now the Ark of the Covenant? You and I, amen? And even though Moses talked to him face to face, the Spirit of God did not live in Moses. It's amazing. Paul said it was a fading glory. The law was a fading glory. And he would have to put that veil over his face when he was on the mountain. He put that veil on his face, but it would begin to what? It would begin to wear off. For you and I, with the Holy Spirit inside of us, amen, it doesn't wear off. The presence of God. That's why it says that voice within us, that still small voice. It's not a voice. God can talk to us from out here, but he lives within us. Amen? Amen. So do we have a disadvantage at all of Moses? No. It says Moses brought the law. Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. Amen? Aren't you glad that he's revealing himself to us? Aren't you glad that he loves us? The testimony of John the Baptist, John 1, 19 through 23. I know John's got to get from those pictures back to the scriptures. Okay, it says, this is the testimony of John. So it's not, we're not talking about the Apostle John, we're talking about John the Baptist. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Now think of this. Said, "Who are you? What are you doing? You're out here baptizing people. We never heard of you. You're not one of the priests. You haven't been hanging around the temple. Who are you, John?" Right? He's hanging out wearing he's wearing camel's hair. He's got a belt and he's eating locust and honey. That's what he's been doing. And he confessed and did not deny. Man, he did not deny. He did not take any glory. He wasn't trying to fool anybody. He wasn't trying anything. So it said, and did not deny. And this is what he confessed. "I am not the Christ." And so they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" They said, "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Well, then who are you? Tell us so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself, John?" He said, "I am the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, 'Make the way of the Lord straight,' as Isaiah the prophet said." You can see that in Isaiah 43, 3 and 5. What he just said was from Isaiah verses 3 and 5. It says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" Amen. And so you got to understand that before we go on, they're coming out to him saying, well, who are you? What are we to tell those who sent us, the leaders, right, the scribes and the Pharisees? What are you doing out here? Because he certainly wasn't one of him. Now, by the way, he was a priest by birth, amen. Both his father and mother had, his father was a priest, but his mother was also from a lineage of a priest. So he was a priest as far as spirit.